Welcome to episode 217 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or are just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and a lot more. We'd love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Sandy, Laura, and Elizabeth. Not so long ago, episode 208 to be exact, we told you about our adventure on Royal Caribbean's Harmony of the Seas. And now we're excited to tell you about the newest addition to the Oasis-class ships, the Symphony of the Seas. She just completed her inaugural season in Europe and has made the trek across the big wide ocean to come to our new home in Miami. Sandy and Elizabeth recently got to experience a taste of what this ship has to offer, and they are here to tell us all about it. So let's get started.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Well, she's beautiful.
Thank you.
No, not you. I was talking about Laura.
Yeah, right.
It's, well, two nights was not enough.
No, these ships are so big.
Yeah. It's just a small taste of it, but it was very cool. And I finally got to take my husband on one of our cool trip things.
Did he like it?
Yeah, he loved it. He's like, we have to cruise more. Why don't we bring the whole family? Yeah.
And he'd never been on an Oasis class ship before, right?
No, he's only been on Disney and Norwegian.
Okay.
So he hadn't been on Royal yet.
Oh, I bet that was a good perspective. Maybe you can pepper our podcast today with his comments here and there. I'm sure he made comments.
So. Of course.
I'm sure he did. I know him. He must have made some comments. Good and bad, I'm sure. So
I'll have to think about it.
And you guys sailed, but not at the same time, right?
Correct. Sandy went on the first inaugural, and I went on the second one 2 days later.
Yeah.
So, but both of us were only on for two nights, so we got two nights each. Which does not equal four nights when you think about it.
Did you ever find what I hid for you?
No, you totally didn't hide anything. Ginny was all weirded out by it, too. She was like, what on earth? It's a big ship. What would she hide? I'm like, she didn't hide anything. She's just being unprofessional because she knows it rubs me the wrong way. So first, I want to talk about the new terminal because I think it should get a lot more credit than it does. And since we just talked about an Oasis class ship, and I think Sandy and I had very different experiences in the terminal. So,
well, one thing I thought was so cool was that big, like moving fan
sculpture
thing.
Yeah, the piece of art.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was like a propeller kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That was really awesome. It's beautiful. The way they did it was when we walked in, we already had our guests, our set sail pass.
Mm-hmm.
So they had all these sections set up. And they just kind of randomly told you to go to one of the sections.
Uh-huh.
And they checked you in with an iPad and took your picture and everything. And that was great. I think that went really smoothly. But then whenever they were getting people in line, that was really random. And I think they need to smooth that part out, which maybe they will by the time regular people are sailing on it. But they weren't, like, taking them in any order. It was kind of like if people saw it opening in line, they would let their little pod in to the line. And so you might, like, we got kind of stuck in a line that we were in the middle, you know, so it kept filling up from the back and then it would never get to us. And so that was a little strange. And then, but, you know, everyone was kind of like, oh, we'll get on. Everyone was super nice and not irritated. And then we were also, we carried our own luggage on because they didn't have the porter service
right
for us. And we were lucky that our suitcases actually fit through the screeners because then there was another line for people who had larger suitcases and that was longer. Did you have that one or?
No. So, it was such a disaster that they fixed it.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So what time did you get to the port?
We got there around, I think our bus left at 11:30, so like 11:30, 12.
So this is, you know, I have a huge theory about cruising, which is get there late. Not so late that you're about to miss the ship, but get there close to when the cabins open because people tend to rush to the port early and then there's a big long line. And I find that when I wait, I have better luck. Now, this is a bad experiment here. It's not very scientific because these cruises, both of them were not at capacity. I do think you had more people on yours than I had on mine. No. I think. Maybe. But I don't know. I certainly knew more people on yours than I knew on mine. So it may just be me projecting.
More of your friends were
on the first one. Yeah, exactly. All my friends were on the first one. But I knew some great people in the second one. And so first of all, the porter service. I had to have a big bag because I went on to Europe right after this trip. So I had to have a big bag and I'd heard about the porter thing. So I'd made all these arrangements with my hotel to store my bag. And it was going to be very stressful to get to the airport in time for my flight. I had an 11 o'clock flight. I was really worried because I was going to have to come back to the hotel, get my bag out of storage, and then go to the airport. But fortunately, one of our friends got to the cruise port before me and said, "Girl, they got porter services." I was like, "Yes!"
Oh, nice.
So, and apparently when she was talking to the porter, he said, "Yeah, it was kind of a disaster." So, and you know, just for anyone listening, this was a travel industry and trade event, a media event. Mm-hmm. So they did not expect us to have big bags. Like there's usually not porter service for these things because you usually just have an overnight bag.
Yeah, and I had a trip right after it too.
Yeah, and a lot of it really wasn't just me. There were literally hundreds of people who had bigger bags because they were either coming from a trip. Some of them were coming from Cruise World, which is a week long conference. Or they were going on a trip because this was also the week right before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, it was sort of the perfect storm of reasons to have a bigger bag. So anyway, the porter service was glorious. It worked very smoothly, very quickly. The porters were right there, just like you would expect. So we were able to walk in and, I arrived about, just before 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And we had no lines. We walked in, we had our set sail passes. The longest line we had to wait in was for security. And we had our bags screened. And then we got right in to somebody with an iPad. They directed us right to somebody who was free with an iPad. She checked us in, she let us right in and we walked right onto the ship. There were no lines.
So I wondered, I can't remember if I linked a credit card to this cruise or not. I just don't know if I did. But there wasn't any, like, you know, verifying your credit card or anything like
that. That is correct, because actually I took Stacy with me, and I did her online check-in based on the information I have about her as a client.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that credit card may not be valid anymore.
Oh.
So, but she was able, there was no question about it. She actually went to guest services to change it, so, you know, because she did some shopping on
it. Yeah, because I did, I don't think the Starbucks was included. This was
correct.
This was a nice perk for us in,
right.
in that we... It was all in the house, so that's nice. But yeah, so I guess I must have put a credit card on it because I got a Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't remember. So I've wondered about that, like if you, because sometimes I don't know what card I'm going to use or
mm-hmm.
I change it once I get
mm-hmm.
to the port. You know, I do that a lot. So I would assume that you can change that with, when they are checking in with the iPad.
I think you'd have to tell them.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't. We didn't know. We realized actually as we were walking on the ship, Stacy was like, "Oh, I didn't get to check my credit card because, you know, we had talked about it on the way, but then we got distracted." So yeah, it was a super smooth process. That terminal is huge and can hold a lot of people. So I think, assuming they work out that line weirdness. Now, if you don't have your set sail pass, you have to go, there's a desk there so that they can print it out for you and everything. But, we didn't have to do any of that. So yeah, all in all, I mean, and actually while I was on board, they had the naming ceremony for the ship. And the president of the company actually said, you know, our big thing right now is from the car to the bar in 10 minutes or less. So they're really trying to speed that process along.
Which is appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
I do know, I understand what you're saying though about getting there a little later because it does kind of stink to have to haul your stuff around.
Yeah.
Like, to
your
cabin's ready.
You know, I understand that people want their, I want to get my money's worth. I want to get there early. But honestly, the food is still there. It's still hot. It's still fresh and you
mm-hmm.
can put your stuff down. So,
yeah.
We might've been a little bit after 1 o'clock that we got there because we pretty much walked on and had about 5 minutes to kill before our rooms were ready. So that really gave us enough time to explore a couple. We had our pizza, you know, my traditional,
we did the same
thing. Getting on board
yeah.
pizza. And then we went up to our room. So
awesome.
Very easy. And that is Terminal A at the Port of Miami, in case you're curious. So it's really pretty as you pull out, too, because they have these, like, pendant lights that sort of blink like stars. I don't know if you noticed.
Mm-hmm.
So then if you're pulling out at night, if it's dark by the time you pull out, which if you leave in the summer, it probably won't be, but this was a winter sailing, fall. Those little lights are blinking inside, and it looks like these little twinkling stars.
Oh.
It's really pretty as you go by it. And it's so huge, it takes you a while to get past that building.
So I should have paid attention. I didn't. Yeah. I don't think I was even outside during the sail away.
Well, we actually had fireworks for our sail away too, so that motivated me to go up on board because we'd had the naming ceremony that day. So
that's cool.
Yeah, I think your cruise was more of a travel trade event, and mine was a little bit more of a media event.
We had a lot of media, but I don't think it was more non-English speaking media.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
It was interesting. Yeah. Cool.
Do you want to talk at all about the shows?
Yeah. We tried to see all the shows.
Yeah. So, I kind of, since we were on the Harmony before, I want to talk about the shows this time because we didn't see all the shows on the Harmony.
Yeah, really.
So
Hero, the water show, aqua theater show, I saw on some comments on Facebook that George had said, who was on our podcast for the Harmony, had said it was the same show. But I was watching a film with some of the royal executives that they were showing out by that theater earlier in the day, and they said they had added some things.
Okay.
But I didn't see the
cool
one. Yeah, I didn't see the one on the Harmony. I did see this one, and it was cool. It was about 45 minutes, so good length of time. It had lots of aerial stuff going on around you. The
yeah, you didn't
walkers
have to go to all these meetings and stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I know. I got to actually see
it. Was
it
nice.
And I made sure I was there early, too, because I was not going to miss it. So it
yeah
was good.
The only thing was, Donna, this was, since this was an abbreviated event, the shows were like, there's one in the afternoon, one in the evening, and then, and there were basically four shows a day, and they were different shows. So you had to pick, you had to like carefully strategize, you know, and they only showed Hairspray was one night, Flight was the other night, and you couldn't, like, if you didn't see Hairspray that first night, then you couldn't see Flight the second night, or vice versa. For that, that was the order for me, but for you, I think it was in reverse. Flight was first.
Yeah,
because they tear down that set completely in between. So on board, when you're on for a week, you'll have a few nights to see Hairspray, and then you'd have a few nights to see Flight. But you wouldn't, it wouldn't go Hairspray, Flight, Hairspray. It's, and then the next,
because they'd have to rebuild
the sets.
They
have to rebuild the sets. And these are not insignificant sets. So I wouldn't be surprised if they actually, if you're on a 7-day sailing with Hairspray first and then Flight, the next 7-day sailing will be Flight first and then Hairspray, just to prevent the tearing down and setting up a lot. So those are the main stage shows.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I
that
will, before we talk about main stage, I want to talk about Hero a little bit because we had bad weather.
Oh.
And so this was the first time that I've been on a ship when they could not do the aqua show because of the weather. So the first night we sat down good and early. We had perfect seats center with the little backs on them, you know, with the little drink holders.
Yeah.
And we're like, bring on the show. And then we look and the pool is sloshing significantly. And I was like, there's no way. But they continue to fill the theater. And so I was like, okay, well, maybe they have like a secondary show that they do if the weather's too rough, you know.
So hot,
yeah, well, so they're
dives
not flying around and they're not doing the high dives. So I, you know, I was like, I want to wait and see what they do as the secondary, sort of the, you know, like Indiana Jones at Hollywood Studios has that. If it rains, they do the indoor parts, but they don't open up the stage. Have you ever? So I've seen that before.
I haven't seen that like
yeah. So so I wanted to see if there was a set. Well, basically, it finally got to the point where they had to call it for the weather. And he said I don't know if they just absolutely don't have a secondary show or if they didn't want to do one for the media.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, we have to call it because basically by the time, from the time I sat down to the time that they called it, the pool had gone down a foot. And I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah.
It was a foot of water was out of that pool. So obviously they can't, you know.
Yeah, no.
Function that way.
They can't
like
do the high dives.
No.
They
yeah
have like the synchronized swimmers. I'm
yeah
under there for an amount of time that makes me nervous for
mm-hmm
them. I mean, they,
mm-hmm,
but they have like scuba people under there.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And he mentioned that he said, because there was the director of entertainment was on board and he,
mm-hmm,
so he was sort of talking. Actually, it was one of the cruise directors that was on board that talked us through it. But he said, you know, we've got these scuba folks down there and they, if they can't hold position, then that's how they know that they can't.
That makes sense.
Yeah, which totally
yeah
makes sense. So.
And the tightrope people, I can't even imagine.
I can't either.
That weather,
I can't
oh my
imagine
god.
Yeah.
They made me so nervous. They were right above me. I'm like, I mean, I know they're kind of hooked up, but no.
Yep.
Crazy. But it was good. It was a very impressive show.
Yep.
So did you see Flight?
I did. Did you cry?
I loved Flight.
Did you
oh
cry?
No, I didn't cry.
Oh, I cried.
What kind of part? What did you cry about? <Just kidding.
laughs> The accomplishments of man. Laura would have cried with me. I know she would.
It was awesome. Their like space station scene was amazing, I thought. I was really expecting my husband to like it a lot more. I mean, he liked it, but it wasn't his favorite show. He actually thought it was kind of corny. And I was like, no, it's campy. It's not corny. You know?
There's a fine line, but.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, yeah. So he didn't, because I loved the Columbus one on mm-hmm. the Harmony so much. And this was.
That's campy.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. This I thought was, I don't know. He wasn't expecting any modern music in it. He thought it was all going to be original music. So it kind of was not what he was expecting, but he liked it, but I loved it. I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not a huge fan of the Jukebox Musical, and Columbus was okay, but I didn't love it. I liked the idea of it, and the set was amazing. Columbus is the show on the Harmony of the Seas. The Jukebox Musical thing to me is not very appealing. So I was sort of surprised because we got a preview of the final number that morning and in our executive chat. Mm-hmm. And, so I was sort of, that was an original song. And so I was expecting it all to be original as well. So when they pulled out some, you know, numbers, and some of them were really like, I have no idea why they're singing this song right now. You know, like, I don't even remember what they are now.
Stretch.
I've blocked
it.
Yeah. It just made no sense at all. So, but the sets and everything were so, you know, good. And, I see why he thinks it's corny because it's sort of a review of man's accomplishments in flight from now until and going backwards. So,
the Wright brothers flying car mm-hmm. was really
amazing.
Cool.
Yeah. They actually fly a plane out over your heads. And mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. This is the girl who saw Sandy Duncan and Peter Pan. And for the curtain call, they would fly her out over the audience. But basically she was just swinging out over the audience. They've actually wired the theater so that this whole plane, biplane, can fly with somebody in it, can fly out over the audience and circles the audience twice. It's amazing.
Super cool. Yeah.
Amazing.
All I can think of is being the stage manager.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure it has its challenges. Yeah. And the sets were really, I mean, they were pretty intricate for a ship. You know, you think, how are they going to, lots of flying. You know, the space station scene is anti-gravity. That's all wires. And then, you know, they did the lunar landing, all wires, of course. So, you know, it's, yeah, there was a lot of wires.
Even the
Columbus show on the Harmony, it's like, if you thought it was campy, there is still a lot to marvel at.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You know, especially, I mean, that boat was incredible on Columbus.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And that's kind of, I mean, and maybe some of it's because I spent so much time backstage in community theater, but, I mean, we come from a generation that kind of takes some of that stuff for granted, but when you see it right before your own eyes, you know, it's like not on a screen.
Yeah.
You're watching how that boat is manipulated and made, and it's huge.
Yeah.
That thing is huge. So I think that's part of the, it's like, even if you don't absolutely love the theme or love the, you know, the genre, I still think there's lots to love about those shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because you're on a boat that's moving with these kind of, not Broadway, but quality productions with huge, you know, it's not like they have a big, you know, three-story cutout boat that they carry across the stage and make go up and down.
Do a little hand puppet. Yeah.
Beautiful boat with all these intricate workings and drawers that come out and the way it comes open and there's, you see the, it's incredible.
Yeah.
I really think there's a lot to enjoy about it.
Yeah, I really feel that the Royal Caribbean has thrown down the gauntlet and said, okay, Disney, here. We are here to play because they are bringing some amazing.
Can we talk about 1976?
Sure.
That I showed. Did you get to see it?
Yeah, I did.
The drones in the beginning, that was so cool.
Yes, yes.
They have a drone show that starts out their ice skating show in the ice skating theater, and they're all synchronized, and it's the coolest thing. And then the show itself is kind of, it was like Doctor Who-esque
yes,
to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It made more sense than 1886, which I think is the one on the other.
Well, this one was narrated more.
Yes, and I think they figured it out. And it's supposed to be a continuation of 1886.
Oh, really?
Actually. Yes.
That.
Well, that's because the story in 1886 made no sense. That was one that after we saw it, Marcus was like, I'm just going to pretend that I knew what that was about.
Yeah, that one was
so, yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah. Sorry.
This one was like time travel, and it started in London, and... the lead character was kind of steampunky.
Mm-hmm.
It was very dark.
I did love his costume.
Did you guys see Hairspray?
So I did not see Hairspray.
I did not. I took a nap. Chris saw the first half of it. Yeah, I've seen Hairspray. I mean, I kind of wish I
had. You sound like me.
I
saw that like 5 years ago on the Oasis.
Oh, cool.
It was incredibly well done.
Yeah.
Incredibly.
Yeah.
In fact, I went with friends of mine who were kind of opposite race, and it was one of the women was 75. My roommate was 75, and she loved it enough that we went back and saw it again.
Oh wow!
But it was incredibly well done. And one of the little kind of secrets I found is that sometimes the cast will, you know, and I don't know that it's announced or that you'll always find out, but kind of have to sneak around, but. Sometimes the cast at night will go upstairs to that bar that's way in the top of the ship, and at night they'll like sing their favorite musical numbers.
Ooh!
Like cool. 4 or 5 of them will go up there, and that is really phenomenal because you know they've got these amazing voices.
Yeah,
you of know? Course.
What?
Of course. Everything is so professional with their stage productions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah, so yeah, we didn't see the performers actually did do the naming ceremony, so we got to see them sing things other than, you know, than Hairspray and Flight. But I was very impressed. A really good cast. And apparently, the cast I saw is still the original, you know, that started sailing with them originally. But I'm sure some of those contracts are ending. So the entertainment was really good. And we did have to make choices. I didn't see Hairspray either because I had seen it before and knew that it was excellent. And so I just couldn't.
If I had been on a week-long cruise, mm-hmm. I definitely would have seen it.
Yeah,
I know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a lot of trying to try everything.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But I'd like to talk about a couple of the main changes that they did on this ship. The first one, noticeably, was one of the specialty restaurants down on the boardwalk, Sabor. They changed mm-hmm. it to Playmakers, is that what it was called?
Yep.
Which is mm-hmm. a sports bar, which I think is brilliant. I felt like it fit right in on the boardwalk. It was always super busy. Still very few menu selections, but they had wings and things like that. Mm-hmm. It just seemed to fit in better with the whole, you know, they had an arcade attached to it.
Is it specialty dining then normally?
It is a la carte.
Okay.
I guess it depends on what you mean by specialty.
Well, I just said it's a charge for it.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Not, it's a nominal charge, but.
Yeah, it was cool. Mm-hmm. And definitely if you want to catch a game while you're on board,
mm-hmm.
that is where you would go.
Mm-hmm.
There were TVs everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool.
Yeah, usually you would go to On Air on some of the other Oasis class ships, but this is a little bit more of a On Air is like this radio television themed bar,
the karaoke bar.
Yeah, and this and because it is the karaoke bar,
mm-hmm.
it, you know, they weren't the games wouldn't be the volume up or anything. So yeah, this was a nice option.
Yeah,
but the rest of the specialty dining is pretty much the same as the other Oasis.
There's
class
a.
Ships.
Well, maybe I did go up and look at the suites, and
mm-hmm.
I got to see the suite restaurant, the
Coastal
Kitchen.
And
I guess they have it on, I don't know if they have it on the Harmony or not, because I wasn't in a suite.
Yeah,
so.
Oh, yeah. It is definitely on the Harmony.
Okay.
Yeah,
I saw it when, because it was upstairs from where we had the cocktail party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess that's, everything else was the same there.
Yeah, which means Wonderland, Izumi, Chops Grill, mm-hmm. 150 Park Grill.
And I kept telling Chris about the wine bar because we loved it so much on the Harmony, and it was such a great hideaway place. And we didn't get a chance to go in there. I was like, oh, and our cabin was not far from it. We had to kind of go by that way. But I didn't get to take him in there. But he did love going by Jamie's Italian because they had the samples of all, they had that huge charcuterie board out with all the meat, and he's
mm-hmm.
like, I want to go walk by that again.
Yep. And Wonderland had the eggs and
mm-hmm.
the shrimp out. Mm, so good.
Yeah.
So good. So good.
Cool.
And then a big addition to this ship over the other Oasis class ships is the suite.
Oh my gosh.
The ultimate family suite.
That was amazing.
It is an amazing. And Royal Caribbean is sort of known for their suites now. They've definitely upped the game in suites, and they have their Aqua Theater suites and their loft suites, the two-story suites that you've seen pictures of. But this this is a two-story, it's a loft suite mm-hmm. with two bedrooms upstairs. And then living space downstairs.
Is it sleep eight? Is that?
I believe that's right. 2, 4, 6.
Great for those really big families.
Yeah.
It's 6 or 8. I feel like it might be 8.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the little book I have does not tell me.
Right. Two of them would be on the fold-out couch downstairs. And then I think there was
up to eight guests.
Yeah. So
it has an air hockey table.
Yes. There's also a ping pong table.
And a slide.
So, or no, it isn't a ping pong table. It was a dining room table.
So when we were looking at that, and a lot of agents were sliding down the slide. I did not slide down the slide.
Oh, really? They weren't allowing us to do it.
Probably because people were behaving so ridiculous. Yeah. No. But back in the corner, like underneath the loft area, there's like a little sitting area. And Chris is like, take pictures of all those games. And I'm like, what? And he's like, they have every game. Like, it was PlayStation and Xbox. Mm-hmm. And they had everything. And I mean, that's the thing. His eyes went straight to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't notice that myself.
Yeah, Elizabeth, the ping pong table was out on the balcony.
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the dining room table.
I remember you showing that during your live thing.
Yep, the dining room table.
Like the table turns into a ping pong table.
Yep, the dining room table turns into an air hockey table. The ping pong table's outside. Yep. Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and it the colors change. So it's a colorful suite, but the kids' room is like, bam, color, like tons and tons of prints and all this stimulation. And then you walk through the little connecting door to the master's bedroom, and it's much more muted, very adult, colors and tones and all that. And the door that connects the two actually has like a tiny kid door in it. So it has this little tiny kid
door.
It must
have been open when I went in there.
Yeah, so the door opens like a regular door, but it'll close.
Like the slush door.
Yeah, there's a little, like a little archway door that looks like a little mouse house door that's just big enough for maybe, you know, if 8 to 10-year-old could still fit in it. I mean, my 12 and 14-year-olds could too, but they'd be, you know, crawling.
Screeching.
They'd be screeching down.
One other thing, did you look at the villa suite? The 4-bedroom one?
Oh, yes.
Isn't that amazing? That's like 14 people.
Yes.
That's like if you really, really like your extended family. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or
want to bring them with
you. Or all of your, you know, friends. If you have a few, you know, families that you hang out with and they're all willing to stick it. It's got a lot of space in it. It was actually on the deck that I was staying on.
Oh, nice.
And it was just down the hall from me. It's near Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it has an ocean view. I had a Central Park view, so.
So I'm trying to see where it is.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I don't know if it was in that.
Looking at my notes.
Yeah, we're looking at our notes. So.
Yeah, it was purely amazing, though.
And something about the Oasis class, well, actually Royal Caribbean in general, is there's three classes of suites. There's the Star class, the Sky class, and the Sea class, I think. And they come with different levels. So the Star class is the highest. That comes with a butler, which they call the genie.
Mm-hmm.
It's fully inclusive. So it includes your drink package, your dining package. You can eat at Coastal Kitchen. There's preferred seating for the shows. Your gratuities are included. Everything's included.
Yeah.
It is expensive, but once you include all those inclusions, the price becomes a little bit more in line with what you might expect. So, and then the other classes of suites include, you know, they don't include quite as much, but
yeah, different perks.
Different perks. Yep.
Yeah. Like special places to sit on the pool decks
mm-hmm.
and private islands and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And speaking of private islands, does this one go to Perfect Day?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's in the little book.
So it must.
So I think they're going to
Coco Cay. Yeah. So all of the Coco Cay will be open in May
mm-hmm.
and then it'll be finished, finally open completely, because it won't be completely done when they open it in May and December.
Yeah. I think it's like the cabanas and
stuff.
Some of
the
adult
stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
It'll still be
the slide should be done for summer.
Yes, yeah. That water park. And it should be noted that the water park is an additional cost.
I got a really good chart from Jenny of the what they all cost. I can share that with mm-hmm. you. If you don't have it.
I think I do.
Okay. Yeah, that was pretty cool. So we can tell you in advance what all that stuff is going to be.
Yeah,
it's very cool.
So that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. And you can also find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on outlandertravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review in iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because we'd love to hear from you. So on behalf of Elizabeth, Sandy, Laura, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week, and we'll see you next time. Gotta fly.